So we are going to now hear from Michael Goring. Mike has been around a while and has managed to place quite a few dogs in Alaska with Guiding Eyes. So take it away, Mike. Tell us again.
Thank you so much. I am Mike Goring. I am the field representative, regional guide dog mobility instructor is our official new title. And what that means is I represent the school, in the field, working out directly with, clients in the field, whether they be applicants who are applying for a guide dog for the first time, or for people that, have had guides before or currently have guides, and we're providing follow-up and aftercare services. So I've been with Guiding Eyes for coming on 14 years now. And prior to that, I spent 18 years in the service dog sector. So, yeah, I've been at it for a bit. Yeah, we've, in the past years, we have been placing more dogs up into, Alaska, particularly in the Anchorage area. And, we've got 5 active teams up there right now, I think. It's been a bit since I've been able to get up there, of course, with the pandemic had slowed our travel and our ability to get around, but we are up and moving once again. So, yeah, I'm actually just contemplating when I can possibly get up there. So activities continue and services continue at Guiding Eyes through the pandemic last year. Of course, just as with everybody else, we were affected quite dramatically. It slowed down our ability to put out dogs. It cut our production down to about 30% or less of what we normally would be doing. All of the placements that we conducted in 2020 were conducted as home training, meaning that we were delivering the dogs directly to people's homes and working in their home environment. The residential program was shut down from March of 2020 through March of 2021. Classes did resume on campus at Guiding Eyes in March of 2021, and a little different look for those that were on campus. Normally pre-pandemic, we would normally have 8 or 10 students on campus for a period of 3 weeks. That in order to maintain social distancing and try to keep everyone as safe and healthy as possible, that shifted to now where we bring 4 students in at a time and they're there for just 2 weeks. But the ratio to students and instructors has increased. So we have 4 students in class rather, with 2 instructors, a class supervisor and a class instructor's assistant. So there's as many staff as there are students in each little pod. And then they're there for 2 weeks. If people need additional assistance at the end of 2 weeks, then we provide that in the field through the regional guide dog instructors in the field. So we have continued on. We are continuing with an increased emphasis on home trainings. That delivery system has worked well through the pandemic. We've found that we can keep things moving. And so this year, we're hoping that last year we closed out the year just shy of 50 dog placements. This year, we're hoping to wrap it up with right around 100. And then in 2022, we're hoping to end the year at pre-pandemic levels. So we're slowly getting the train up and running full steam here. For those that are interested in applying, the process is rather simple. You can go online, guidingeyes.org. There's a very user-friendly application process there. If that does not work for you, you can simply call in and they will walk you through the application process over the phone. Currently, we are with new people that have not had guides before and are new to us as well. We are still trying our best, and it's getting better now with travel opening up more and more, to still conduct in-home, in-person interviews, home interviews. That has always been a trademark of Guiding Eyes, is that we always conduct interviews in person. During the pandemic, of course, when we weren't allowed to fly and we weren't able to get around, we did start develop some ability to conduct home interviews remotely. So those who have had guides before, or specifically had guides from us, we are trying to do those interviews remotely, and having people collect their own video footage and collect some of their own information and send that on to us. And then we're conducting some interviews remotely, either using just simple phone calls or in some cases Zoom technology. In cases where we don't have enough information from the remote process, then we will still go out and do that home interview. So kind of a hybrid of what we used to do and new stuff going on. We're trying to see the silver lining through all of this past 18 months or so. And we have, it has made us rethink, you know, so often in whatever line of work we're in, we tend to fall into that, you know, we do things the way we do things because that's how we've always done things. And this certainly forced us to look at our operations and things differently and come up with some creative ways of doing things. So, we are still up. We're still standing. We're up and running. No one at Guiding Eyes, we didn't have any layoffs through the pandemic, at all. Everyone kept their jobs. We found a lot of projects to work on the side. So some of those things that we always said that if we ever had the time, we'd love to get to this or that. And we were able to do a lot of that kind of stuff. We were rewriting our lecture series and, even producing some short videos to accompany some of the lectures that can be used by family as well as O&Ms that can help troubleshoot some problems in the field. So a lot of good stuff came along with that. So I think with that, I can ramble on about guide dogs for days. Those of you that know me certainly know that to be true. So I would just open things up for questions if anybody has questions at all. About guide dogs, or about Guiding Eyes specifically, just fire away. If somebody could facilitate and watch hands raised and that sort of thing for me.
Sure. If anyone would like to raise your hand, computer alt Y, telephone *9 or iPhone, double tap on the more button and then tap on raise hand.
Thank you, Michael.
Not seeing any at this time.
Anybody? Okay. So this generally.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
I have noticed lately through like the listserv and a few others that there's been a lot of recalls in regards to some of the different types of food for dogs in general or thing. Is Guiding Eyes having any recalls or any some of the, I know each dog to its own, you know, for allergies or any other circumstances. Have you guys had any problems with the recalls?
With dog food specifically, Katie?
Yes.
Any time recalls come up, you know, our vet department, we have a vet department of four full-time veterinarians. They monitor recalls on food for the organization. And anytime recalls come out, we do push those out. We try to push those out in e-blasts to our graduate population so that everybody's aware. You know, when you are in school, you generally leave the school with a food that we recommend and that the dog's been on during their training. There have been a few changes in the past several years in the food that we use just due to economics and trying to come up with, you know, the best food for the best dollars, and coming up with value. So we do have graduates just from that alone. There's graduates that are on several different brands that have active dogs in the field. And then people also, graduates also do choose just their own food and based on their preference. So a lot of different graduates using a lot of different food. Every time a recall comes out, I would say, there's with 1,000, not between anywhere between 900 and 1,000 active teams at any given time. Usually when a recall comes out, I would, there's some percentage of the population of our graduate population that's affected by that. But we do try to get that information out there, to everyone and let them know, what's going on. Some brands, seem to have more problems with recalls than others. That's part of why we tend to recommend that people stay with, some of the well-known brands. They tend to have fewer problems, with the recall kind of stuff. Although, that said, in the past couple of years, Blue Buffalo, which is a, very popular brand, a lot of people like using it. The Wilderness line has, their Wilderness line's had a few recalls in the past year. So, even when staying with reputable brands, it can run into problems. And sorry if that's a really long answer to an easy question, but, we just try to, we try our best to get the information out there. So that, and then if people have questions on what they should switch to, we can either either the vet staff or the regional guide dog instructors can try to help with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else have any questions?
Yeah, any other questions? I actually had one, but you answered it. This is Bonnie. You said that you, right now, you have about 1,000 dogs with 1,000 teams. Is that what you said?
Yeah, our numbers are generally, at Guiding Eyes, we're usually between, right, or 950-ish is kind of where we tend to hover. Sometimes it'll drop down, it cycles down below that. Right now, I think I haven't looked at that number in a bit. Because of production being hampered in the past 18 months, pre-pandemic, we were getting out. In 2019, we got it. We graduated 172 dogs in 2019. And then in 2020, we graduated something around 50, 48, 50, something like that. So, in that time, people naturally retire, dogs are naturally retiring and we're only getting, so if you say on average, there's 100-ish teams that will retire their dogs in a year. And we're only putting out 50 new ones. So then we're, the active graduates number is going to drop down. So we're trying to play catch up right now. All of the guide dog schools are experiencing the same thing right now, where, production was hampered and application numbers continued to come in. Applications kind of slowed to a trickle for a while there when we were kind of in the heart of last summer. I think, nobody really had an idea of how long this thing was going to last. And, we did see application numbers, the rate of applications coming in slowed. However, once things started kind of opening up again, and then we saw an influx. So I believe right now we're sitting right around 200 approved applications today. We'll try to get out of how we're shooting for 100 plus teams this year and then hoping to get back up to north. So it's going to take us, and this is going to be true with all the schools, it's going to take a couple few years to get caught up. Nobody saw this thing coming, obviously, and just like with every business, we're all trying to figure it out. So, but yeah, the short answer is right. 900 to 950, I would say probably where we're at right now.
How are you guys handling the successor dogs and the new applicants, and making sure everybody eventually gets help?
As far as people that have had dogs from us before and are reapplying, is that what you're getting at, Katie?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And there too, all the schools kind of handle this the same. Anytime you've had a dog from Guiding Eyes, we try to step on the scale a little bit in people's favor. We try to reservice, you know, those people that are accomplished guide dog handlers, and that's their preferred mode of transportation. We want to, you know, to get a successor dog in their hands as quickly as possible. What we're recommending now is if, you know, if someone's dog is working well and they're coming up on 8 years of age or so, given the wait list right now, we're encouraging people to, you know, even though you've probably got another 2 or 2 years plus of work with that dog remaining, not a bad idea to get the application process going early. If your name comes up to the top before you're ready to retire your dog, it's always easier to hit a pause button and say, you know, let's defer that for another 6 months. My dog's still working great. It's easier to do that than to wait until, you know, oh shoot, my dog doesn't want to step in the harness anymore and I need a new dog yesterday. That right now with the way things are backed up, that's really difficult. We are trying to, I mean, I just had a case here in Tucson, with someone whose dog, you know, had a medical at age, you know, a medical circumstance at age 7. You know, we never, you know, of course that wasn't anticipated at all. Everything was clicking along and all of a sudden, you know, we need to get a new dog in there. So in those circumstances, we prioritize those and those get floated to the top of the list. That's part of what's created this wait, because we have people that, those people that do retire, or do need dogs priority get bumped ahead, you know, we get bumped ahead of somebody that's a brand new applicant, and that brand new applicant ends up waiting even longer. So we're all a little bit frustrated, and we joined the graduate population and the new applicant population in these long wait times. But you know, regardless of what you're shopping for these days, it seems like there's extended waiting periods. So it's just the world we live in today. So we're doing everything we can to try to be fair to everyone. You know, it's always that thing. If you're the individual waiting, though, it's hard to feel that sometimes.
Okay, we have our final question from 0135.
Good morning. This is Velda. I would like to have some information about your, pardon me, your application process. Does that require any medical component, like, you know, from an optometrist or a retinologist or?
Yep.
I just wondered how that process, the application looked. And
yeah,
what it's required, basically.
Yeah, it's very thorough. You initially submit an initial application form that you fill out online and send in. Once that's received, then you'll receive forms that you will be asked to drop off at your medical, your GP, your general practitioner, ophthalmology reports, orientation mobility reports are also required. For people that are repeating graduates to our school, some of that admission does have the ability to waive some of that for people that are repeating graduates if they find that that's warranted. But anybody new coming into the program, we do require a full background. We want to know people that, you know, are held, that the rigors of guide dog training are quite substantial. So we do need, you know, we do want to know for somebody's health purposes that they're able to take on the training and this is a good idea for them and that type of thing. And then also understanding people's visual condition because, you know, a lot of people today that we're placing dogs with, we place far more dogs with people that have some travel vision, as opposed to those that are total. So, understand it's important for us to understand how much remaining travel vision people have and how they use that. And we want to prepare people properly through their training so that they're using that residual remaining travel vision to the team's benefit and not to the team's detriment or to the team's, you know, a matter of safety. The process is very thorough. Any of the graduates that are on the call, Nate, Katie, any of those that have been through our program can testify to that.
Thank you so much. Very informative. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Give your website real quickly, in case anyone here doesn't have it for the archives.
GuidingEyes.org.
Okay, phone number?
You can get a hold of Guiding Eyes directly at the 800 number, which is 800-942-0149. 800-942-0149.
All right, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Super. Yes. Thank you very much.